Nice to see you all back for our Sunday evening service. Find your seats now and grab a hymnal. Go to hymn number 288, and we'll begin tonight. Hymn number 288. 288, I am resolved. Hymn number 288, once you found your place, we'll lift it up together. Starting on that verse, I am resolved no longer to linger. Hymn number 288, sing it out now.
I am resolved no longer to linger.
Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have to be back in church on this Sunday evening. Thank you for everyone that came out tonight. We ask, Lord, your blessing upon us as we lift our voices to you in praise, and that you would just fill us with your spirit as we do that, and that you'd also prepare our hearts for the preaching to come. We ask that you please fill Pastor Jonathan Shelley with your Holy Spirit once again tonight, and have our hearts and ears be open to receive the message tonight, and that all that's said and done would give you the honor and glory that you deserve for it, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 194 is next, 194. Since Jesus came into my heart. Hymn number 194, we'll lift it up on that verse. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Hymn number 194, sing it out now.
What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for this.
Came into my heart. I possess power over.
Oh, okay.
Ask my son, hey, what song is this? It's the first. Then he sends me a text. Never mind, it's the second. I'm like,
all right. Pastor leaves and everything falls apart. Blame this guy, amen. All right, if you need a bulletin, please raise your hand high in the sky, and the ushers will bring you a bulletin as soon as they possibly can. And if you have your bulletin, please open it up. On the upper left-hand side is our service times. Right below that is our church-wide soul winning times. At the very bottom is our regional soul winning groups and also salvations and baptisms for the year. On the right-hand side is the information about our mega conference. Thank you, Pastor Shelley, once again for kicking it up for us. We appreciate you coming down and preaching for us. Always a privilege and an honor to have you down here and preach to everybody at our church. And once again, at the very bottom, not the very bottom, but in the middle, thank you to those who participated in a Navajo reservation soul winning. There was 8 soul winners and 19 salvations, and they knocked every door in chambers. Also, at the very bottom is information about the next soul winning trip. It's going to be to Eden, Arizona, Saturday, July 20th. Any questions about that, talk to Brother Raymond when you get a chance after the service on the back of the bulletin. Please continue to pray for the expecting ladies in our church. And at the very bottom, or in the middle, is information about the skate night we're going to have in August. That'll be Thursday, August 15, from 5:30 to 8 p.m. The address is right there for you, and the upcoming events are right there at the very bottom. So let's just quickly count our salvations for the week. If you got somebody saved on Thursday, go ahead and raise your hand with the number. And I see, brother, how many? We got 9. And any other salvations really quickly? 17. Any other salvations back there? I see a finger. Is it 1? All right. Anybody else? We got 1 right here. Any other salvations that I miss? Going once, going twice. All right, let's do Friday. If you got somebody saved on Friday, go ahead and raise your hand. 3, 2. All right. Any other salvations for Friday and Saturday? Any salvations for Saturday? What do you got? 19? We got 19 salvations. Any other salvations for Saturday and today? 4? Anybody else? 3? All right, we got 3. We got 3? 15. But you're raising 3 fingers, brother? Come on now. No. 15 it is. All right. Anyone else? What do you got? 2? Any other salvations? Going once, going twice. All right, brother, lead us in the next song, please.
All right. You should find the insert in front of your hymnal of Psalm 81. If you don't have an insert, you can raise your hand. We'll sing it on that verse. Sing aloud unto God our strength.
Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow off the trumpet in the new moon. In the time appointed on our solemn feast day. For this was a statute for Israel and the law. God of Jacob, this he ordained in Joseph, for a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. I removed his shoulder from the burden, his hands were delivered from the
hymnals now to hymn 162, hymn 162. To God be the glory. Hymn number 162. We'll lift it up together on that first verse. 162, to God be the glory. Great things he hath done. Hymn number 162. Sing it out now.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord!
At this time, we're going to pass the offering plate. So as the ushers are passing the offering plate, please turn your Bible to Proverbs chapter number 14. Proverbs chapter number 14.
In Proverbs 14, the Bible reads, "Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. The evil bow before the good, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. The poor is hated, even of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Do they not err that devise evil? But mercy and truth shall be to them that devise good. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. The crown of the wise is their riches, but the foolishness of fools is folly. A true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. In the multitude of people is the king's honor, but in the want of people is the destruction of the prince. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. He that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker, but he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor. The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death. Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding, but that which is in the midst of fools is made known. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causeth shame.
Thank you, Father, for the King James Bible. I thank you for Faith Ward Baptist Church. I ask that you fill Pastor Shelley with your Holy Spirit. I pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen. I want to look back at verse number 20 here to start, but I also want to thank again Faith Ward Baptist Church for having me. I was able to bring my eldest son, Clayton, with me this time, and I'm also looking forward, God willing, I should be coming back for the missions conference in November, and I'm going to be talking about Fiji, and so I'm definitely excited to come back. God willing, maybe I'll be able to bring my family, but thank you again so much to Faith Ward and Pastor Anderson for having me out here, and this sermon is kind of the exact opposite because Pastor Anderson is a really good friend, but what I want to talk about tonight is bad friends, all right? Bad friends. And look at verse number 20. The Bible says, the poor is hated even of his own neighbor. Man, poor people just can't get a break. I'll tell you what, you know? The Bible just says nobody likes this guy, right? But the flip side is also kind of interesting because did you notice it says, but the rich hath many friends. Now, I think when the Bible uses this word friend in the book of Proverbs here, it's using it pretty loosely. And really, if you have friends that are only your friend because you have money, well, that's not really a good friend. That's actually kind of a bad friend. And I want to look at a lot of different Proverbs this evening, but go over to Proverbs chapter 19 for a moment. I have five people that you should try to beware of or think about, like, why is this person your friend? And unfortunately, anybody is susceptible to having what we call a fake friend, where they're not really sincerely your friend. They don't really like you. They just kind of like what they get out of you. They like the benefit of being your friend. Specifically, if you're rich, the benefit often is that you buy them things or you have money or you have nice stuff and they just like being around you simply because you have money. And did you notice that the rich have many friends? It's not like just one person will want to be your friend. Everybody want to be your friend. A lot of people in this room, if you were to win the lottery, which I hope you don't play, but, you know, my chances of winning the lottery are really low because not only will I not buy a ticket, the chances of winning the lottery are so low. Someone would have to, like, win the lottery and just walk up to me and die handing me the ticket or something like that, you know? It's like, and just giving it to me. But winning the lottery would change your life in a lot of ways. And one of those ways would be the fact that everybody that you didn't think you even knew would come out of the woodwork and become your friend all of a sudden. If you just won a ton of money or you became wealthy overnight, well, all these people would be like, hey, good old buddy, old pal. We've been such good friends. We should be hanging out more. You know what I mean? And you're just thinking like, who are you? Where did you come from? And it's just simply because you have money. That's it. Now in Proverbs chapter 19, it says this in verse number 4, wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. Boy, again, the poor just can't catch a break. People don't like hanging out with poor people. They like hanging out with rich people. They like hanging out with wealthy people. They like that money. It says in verse 6, many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. So in some ways, you can literally buy friends. That's what the Bible is saying. But again, we're using that term loosely, and I believe that the Bible is using this term loosely in the sense that they're your friend, but because you're buying them stuff. And they're more like a fake friend They're not really a sincere friend that actually likes you, is going to help you. Because if you lose your money, well, that's the same guy that's going to be separated from you. That's the same guy that's even going to hate you later because now you don't have money. Now you're not buying them anything. Now they don't want to really hang out that you don't have any money. And the next verse really says that. Look at verse 7. All the brethren of the poor do hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He pursueth them with words, yet they are wanting to him. So, you know, and in some cases, the reason why a lot of people have friends is just based on one thing, and it's just money. You know, sometimes you might think like, man, I don't have a lot of friends, and this other guy has a lot of friends, or it seems like a lot of people like him or want to hang out with him. But then you gotta ask this question, like, why? Why is it that they're hanging out with this individual? Is this individual just so much more friendly and so much a better person? Or is it just simply they have money and people like being around people that have money? And the honesty is, if you look at the celebrities, you look at rich people in this world today, many people hang out with them and think they're cool for only one reason. It's because they have money. Many of the celebrities and many of the rich people today are actually fools and they're not cool and they're not funny, but they have money and so people just pretend like they're cool. You know, a bunch of people that are pretending like someone's cool just because they have power, influence, or money is Joe Biden, okay? No one would want to genuinely hang out with Joe Biden. I mean, you might even have to change his diaper. And if you think about it, like, the entire Democratic Party and the left has basically turned on their, quote, friend. And they're saying, like, this guy's geriatric, this guy needs to get out of the way, this guy's not cool anymore, we don't want him to be the president. And it's not like he wasn't like that 4 years ago. It's the guys running out of steam and running out of money, okay? And they recognize this guy's not that cool anymore. He never was. They don't really genuinely like him. I don't think anybody even genuinely voted for him. Like, there's a lot of people that I'm sure voted against Trump, or they just voted for the pro-democratic position. But do you really expect me to believe that 81 million Americans just said, like, I really like Joe Biden. What a great guy. Let's go ahead and vote for him. Or were the votes basically against Trump, pro-democrat values, or they were someone that thought he was going to give them a gift. Yeah. Right? Students thinking, like, he's going to pay off my student loans, so I'll vote for Joe Biden, or I'll do this thing. But they only like him if he's going to give them stuff, or hand them stuff, or give them influence, or give them power, just like Hunter Biden. The only reason that guy's had jobs in his life is because of the money and the influence and the power that the guy has. Nobody wants to hang out with this guy who's shacking up with his brother's sister, or brother's wife, I'm sorry. I mean, Hunter Biden is literally shacking up with his brother's widow. And it's just like, the guy is a weirdo, a freak. There's all kinds of information about him being a pedophile and being corrupt. Why would anybody want to hang out with this guy? His teeth are jacked up, okay? He makes British people look good. And the reality is, it's like nobody likes Hunter Biden. They just hang out with him because he has money. And so if you're sitting here thinking like, I wish I had more friends, well, here's the question. What kind of friends? And how many friends do you really want to rack up that only like you because you have a little bit of money, a little bit of power, a little bit of influence? In fact, for many of these people that are wealthy or are rich, they can't find genuine friends. Nobody will even want to genuinely be their friend. And they always have to wonder, like, is this person even sincerely my friend? Because the only reason they're your friend is because of money. And so if you're someone in this room that actually has a little bit of money or actually has a little bit of wealth, you should be careful about the people that are so eager to hang out with you and be your friend, because it may not be very sincere. It may not be because they actually like you, but rather they like your money. Okay? And, you know, I've heard stories about all kinds of different people using this to their advantage, but they'll walk up and they'll be like, man, it'd be really nice to eat at Outback. Where are you eating dinner tonight? Man, no one's taken me to Outback in a while. What do you think? Where do you think you're going to go? Do you think we should go to dinner? We should totally, it's been so long since you've bought me a meal. We should go to dinner together, right? Right? And there are people like this where they just kind of like try to leech off of you. Or they're just kind of trying to always be in the right spot at the right time. Just like, hey, I've even known people, it's kind of weird, but they would do this with their kids, okay? Where it's like a family member or friend or somebody, and they'll basically tell their kids, and they're like, hey, will you take us to Outback? You know, and it's like the kids are asking, so it's like this awkward, weird thing. And it's like, they don't really like this person. They just simply want to get something from them. It could even be in your own family. Okay, where they're just trying to kind of weasel their way in there to get something from you, get some money. And so you should be very careful, the people. Now, if you're poor, you don't have to worry. Nobody will like you anyways, okay? So that might affect most of you, all right? Go over to Proverbs chapter 26. Go to Proverbs 26. So here's the benefit to being poor. Your friends really like you. Like some of you that have friends, you should be like, I don't even understand why. Okay? But of course, you know, as you potentially get older or have more money or have more power, or have more wealth, you know, you always want to be careful. You got to be careful about this also in the job place where maybe you're a manager or you're higher up in a company or something like that. You know, trying to understand why people are so friendly towards you. And a lot of times what individuals will do that are not sincere and that are fake is they'll flatter you. Now, this is kind of a second group that I want to talk about. First group is those who are fake because they're just not sincerely your friend. The second group is people that'll flatter you. And it's kind of similar. They're also not really sincerely your friend, but they'll tell you things that you would like to hear just to get favor, maybe that money that we were talking about, or influence or power. And people are very insincere in this world today. I know whenever I worked here, actually, I worked for a particular company, and there was a fellow coworker who would just trash our boss just incessantly. Like, he just hated the job. He didn't work hard. He would just sit there and tell us, you know, just how bad our boss was, and he was upset about the work, and our boss is so terrible and so stupid and so dumb. And then our boss would walk into the room, and he'd be like, hey, I just wanted to pause for a moment and just let our whole department just recognize you as like a really great boss, and I don't know what we would do without you, and I just really wanted to thank you. We're just sitting there like, the last 5 minutes, you've been just trashing him, just saying stuff that's not even like the nicest thing ever, and now all of a sudden, in our presence, you're just saying the exact opposite. That's evidence of a flatterer, okay? What is a flatterer? It's someone that gives an insincere compliment to you. It's someone that tells you something that's nice, but they don't really mean it. There's the thing, there's nothing wrong complimenting people. You can go around and tell people, hey, I like, you know, your hair, your shirt, I like your car, you know, hey, you did a really good job going soul winning or whatever. But you got to be careful when that's not true. Or it's definitely not true that that person would believe that. Okay? They're like, nice shirt. You know, that's where you're picking up on the sarcasm, because that person is not being very sincere, okay? But you have to be careful of someone that's constantly praising you or complimenting you, and it's not very sincere. And what it takes is you to be humble about yourself. I've noticed that flattery really works on vain and prideful people the best, okay? Why? Because it takes you to actually discern and realize, like, I'm not that great, actually, or I am not that cool, or... You know, you're like, this shirt really isn't that nice of a shirt. Like, why is this person saying this? Okay. It's like you ladies, you like do your hair really nice every single day. And then one day you don't do it. And someone's like, really nice hair. You're like, she's fake. She's a flatterer. Because I know that my hair normally looks better than this. Why am I getting a compliment out of the woodwork? You know, and then that's where you can kind of discern this person's not being very sincere. Proverbs 26 kind of brings this up in verse 24. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit within him. This is like Joe Scarborough, which is a famous news reporter or anchor, who said that right now we have the best version of Joe Biden that we've ever had ever. Couldn't Joe Biden himself just be like, you know, that's not true? Like, really? I'm supposed to believe that this guy is cognitively the best that he's ever been? He's the strongest and the most aware and understand what's going on. I mean, that is just insane. You can tell that guy is being a flatterer. And the news media and Hollywood and all these different industries will just flatter people all day long, not being sincere. And actually what the Bible says is that they hate that person. By flattering someone, you're hating them. But because you hate them and you have to talk about them, often what they do is they cover their hatred with flattery. And they make insincere compliments, even though they actually despise the person. And it's so funny, they'll say, like, I don't hate anybody. And it's like, yes, they actually hate a lot of people. And they sit there and tell them a lot of insincere things about them. And this is what the Bible's kind of warning us of people that hate you, trying to tell you stuff that sounds good, but it's actually fake. It says in verse number 25, when he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. When someone gives you a compliment and you can tell this is not real, this doesn't really add up, you should recognize this is actually a bad person. There's something really bad about this person, and they have really bad intent around me. Now, it takes you off guard when it happens, and it's kind of weird, because a lot of times you kind of want to believe the flattery. Like, right, you know, they're telling you something nice, they're telling you something good, and so you want it to be sincere. But when you recognize it's not, just take it to the bank, this person's a bad person. I've had several people that flattered me, and I could kind of tell it was flattery. And I just kind of like didn't want to believe that person was bad. Because it's just like, oh man, I didn't know this was like a bad person. And I'm kind of like, I just want to give them the benefit of the doubt. But then just like every time, they just end up just doing the weirdest, the worst things imaginable. Just crazy, horrible liars and railers and just getting in all kinds of trouble and adultery and all kinds of crazy things that are happening. And it's just kind of a warning sign that God's giving you, this person is a bad person. Now, it says in verse 26, whose hatred is covered by deceit, whose wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone it will return upon him. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. So flattering is a really clear indication that this person is bad. Now, there's always this example, I think, especially when I'm here at Faithful Word, especially when we talk about bad friends. But there was a former deacon here, Tyler Baker, all right? Who went to church with Tyler Baker? I'm just kind of curious. Yeah, about half the church still went to church while he was here. Well, I remember him saying this, and it was just really weird. But he had like gone and preached at a few different places, and he was getting closer and closer to potentially being sent out to start a church in Florida. And so he had been getting a little bit more recognition. Pastor Anderson had talked about him. He'd preached behind the pulpit multiple times. And he ended up making the statement of, you know, some people think that I preach better than Pastor Anderson. And I was just like, it's just so funny because that was obviously flattery. But he's so prideful and so stupid, he thought it was sincere. And let me just help you, young guys. If someone in the preaching class comes up to you and you're like, I think you preach better than Pastor Anderson, that's not true. And they're a bad person, okay? And you're a bad person if you believe that, okay? For being so prideful and so arrogant. And even if someone genuinely thought that, it's such a subjective thing anyways, that it'd be weird to go around bragging about it or telling other people, like, oh, so-and-so thinks that I'm a better preacher. You know, like, what an idiot. And idiots fall for flattery, I'm just telling you. Why? Prideful people fall for flattery. That's why it's important to have a low and a humble view of yourself so you're not taken advantage of by flatterers. Because they also plant this idea in your head like Inception or something, and then Tyler Baker starts believing that he's actually better than Pastor Anderson somehow. And it's like, dude, you're still not. I mean, how is that even possible? You haven't been here for like years. Where's your giant church with all these people thinking you're so much a better preacher? Oops, right? Now he just has his little cult compound out there in Florida, and Florida's got so many bad churches in the same area, it's crazy. But it's just like, this is an example of someone getting around people and sucking in the worst, having people just kind of flatter you and tell you things that are insincere. You know, as a preacher, sometimes this will happen, and this is how I identify it. It's when someone comes up to me after the sermon and tells me that I preached the best sermon ever, every single time. I'm like, man, that's incredible that I keep topping myself every single sermon, right? It's like, that's not sincere. No one genuinely thinks like that was just the greatest sermon ever. Every single Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, it just keeps getting so good. I'm surprised this person hasn't like been blown out of their seat. You know, it's just like, what in the world? Like, you can just basically take it to the bank. That person's not sincere. They're not legitimate. And if you work in a position where you're a leader, where you're a manager, where you have some kind of authority, and people are just giving you these compliments, be careful and think about, is that true? Am I really the best manager ever? You know, they get you that boss cup, the best boss ever. You're like, does this person really think that about me? You know, you have to be careful and think about these people because there's a lot of bad friends out there. Go to Revelation chapter number 2. And why these things are important is because obviously when you have fake friends, you could end up relying upon them at a time when you're in need and they're not really there. They don't really help you in a position where you have something going badly in your life. Or the advice or the counsel they give you may be directly related to the fact that you have money, right? So if you were to make a decision that would cause you to have less money, they're like, don't make that decision. It's like, hey, I was thinking about getting more involved in church and, you know, giving some money to like the church. I don't think I'm going to spend all this money anymore. They're like, no, no, that's a bad decision. You know, you need to keep just hanging out with me and buying me stuff and going. It's like, that's the person's advice, right? Or flatterers, obviously, if you talk to flatterers, they could plant, again, bad ideas in your mind, into your heart, and cause you to be much more prideful than you should be. You may not even have very many prideful thoughts, but you allow flatterers to plant prideful thoughts into your brain and you accept them because you're just so susceptible to flattery itself. You know, again, we should have a low and a humble view of ourselves and not allow people to build us up and make us think that we're better than we really are. Amen. Okay? It's a dangerous thing. Sometimes you could really easily do that through social media, where people are just making a lot of insincere comments on social media. You can have a really bad self-image based on things on social media when social media is just fake, folks. Yeah. It's not real. Social media could cause you to have a worse view of yourself than you should, and it could cause you to have a better view of yourself. Really, you should not have self-image based on comments from online. It's not legitimate. Take all that stuff with a grain of salt, and a lot of it's just bots anyways. You're just arguing with robots. So, you know, just be really careful, you know, what information you allow to get into your heart. Here's another group of bad friends, though, and this is what I would call fallen friends. Fallen friends. And look at Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. The Bible says this: remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent. So in the book of Revelation, we have letters written to the churches which are in Asia, the first church of the church at Ephesus, and this is a church that has gone bad. They've forgotten the first works. And God is saying to them, Jesus Christ is saying to them, that they have fallen. So this is what we would think of as someone's being backslidden. They're in a backslidden state. They've kind of fallen, or perhaps, you know, it could even be really just doctrinal. And really what I want to kind of focus in is kind of the idea of being backslidden doctrinally. Now, this can happen very easily with anyone where they just stop reading their Bible. Because reading your Bible is a chore. Reading your Bible is very difficult. And it's very easy to not read the Bible. You know what's hard? Reading the Bible. What's not hard is not reading the Bible. Everybody in the world is really good at it, okay? And even Christians can get in an attitude or a behavior where you forgot what the Bible says. You're not really thinking about the Bible. And what happens is your heart starts to turn away from the things of God and you start believing weird things. You say, what weird things? Things that are on YouTube. You know, if you go to this church, you should be aware of the fact that truth is being censored, right? I mean, who's recognized that they're censoring material online, right? They're censoring truth. Well, if they censor all the truth off of YouTube, what is there left to watch? Things that are not true, okay? Especially when it comes to conspiracy theories, all right? conspiracy theories that have a lot of truth and evidence, those have been taken down from YouTube. But you know what didn't get taken down from YouTube? Conspiracy theories with no truth in them. And sometimes people, they forget, like in times past, a lot of conspiracy videos that were the highest rated videos and they were getting the most attention, they had a lot of truth in them. They're showing you like Building 7 falling down in 7 seconds flat and saying, you think this happened due to office fires? And you're like, no, because I'm a rational person. Okay. Just like no one voted for Joe Biden the way that they said, right? It's like, oh, well, what about the fact that the owner of Building 7 was Larry Silverstein? And he just happened to be a Jew. I don't know if you know that. Stein, okay? Oh, and the owner just happened to take out terrorist insurance for the first time ever. And he said in a public interview, he got lucky. What a lucky Jew, all right? So we have a lucky Jew that took out this insurance policy on Building 7, and you like watch these things, you're like, this is kind of interesting. But guess what? That video's gone. And, you know, there's some really great preaching from a guy named Pastor Steven Anderson. It's gone. Like, all of it. There was so much material. Cool documentaries. Things like Marching to Zion. That was a cool documentary. After the Tribulation, you know? There was documentaries that never had much of a chance. Sodomite Deception, all right? You should watch it. Shameless plug. But there was all this good information. But people just stop reading their Bible, but they still want to consume something. Okay? It'd be like if your favorite restaurant that was making really high-quality food in the area shut down. But let's think about this. Are you going to stop eating? No, you're not going to stop eating because your favorite restaurant that was making good food shut down. You're going to go somewhere else with lesser quality often. And this is what happens to a lot of Christians, is where they just are in a habit and an appetite of consuming something. And they just keep shutting down and canceling everybody to the point where it's like, well, I have to watch something on YouTube. So now you're watching Ben Shapiro, right? You're watching Ben Shapiro talk to you about COVID or some other information about some public event that happened, some recent pop event. Or now you have to watch Joe Rogan, or you have to watch some other, you know, conservative. How are these people conservative? Like, there's nothing conservative about them, but it's just like people want to watch something. They have this appetite inside of them, and so they're just going to consume stuff. And because they're not reading their Bible, they get all these other ideas planted into their mind and in their heart, into their body, and so they become fallen. They become doctrinally backslidden. And as a result of that, they affect other people around them, because you can only affect other people around you by what you say. I mean, the Bible says, you know, we can only speak and speak that which we've seen and heard. You know that you're just basically just a tape recorder? Your kids are a tape recorder. Whatever you see and hear all day, what do you talk about the next day? What you saw and you heard the day before. And think about it. If you're around a bunch of people that didn't read the Bible and haven't been reading the Bible, what are you going to hear? Warmed over information from Joe Rogan and Ben Shapiro and NBC and Fox News and just whatever junk is on the internet. And so people just start saying all kinds of crazy, weird things. And it's a dangerous person to be around because they can cause you to also fall with them. They will drag other people down with you. And, you know, because our world's so crazy, people make all kinds of compromises in who they listen to. Well, I'm not going to listen to Ben Shapiro. But you know what? I like that Matt Walsh. I like the Catholic who works for the Jew, okay? He's way more sane. He made a documentary proving what is a woman, you know? I mean, what a conservative masterpiece. The guy even proved that trannies should not get surgery with all the information being withheld from them. You know, we should make sure that when people are getting tranny surgery, they know the risks, folks. How about we give them a different kind of surgery? Brain surgery, all right? That's the kind of person I want to listen to. But no, you're listening to Matt Walsh, the Catholic, explain to you why no one's going to go to hell, okay? Which I don't even know how he's Catholic. I guess Catholics are good at not believing the Bible. But Matt Walsh has had a public interview with Ben Shapiro where he was explaining his views on Catholicism, and he said this: I don't believe that God would send anybody to hell that's loved any person in their life. He said, if there's anybody out there that has any genuine or true, sincere love towards their child or their spouse or anybody, I just don't think God would send any of those people to hell. Wow, so that's a pretty low bar. If you've ever just loved anybody, I mean, think about the people that are going to hell. They're really bad, okay? They couldn't even love their own children. Whereas Jesus said that even the publicans do the same. Jesus said, if you love them which love you, well, even the publicans do the same. So that would mean the publicans are going, everybody's going to heaven. At that point, basically. I mean, look, even the worst person you could dream up loves someone. They love themselves or something. You know, I mean, how does that work? What if you love yourself, Matt Walsh? You know, people sit there and just listen to this dribble, listen to these, quote, conservatives, but they're not conservative, they're gatekeepers, and they're liars. And while I'm not really preaching about them, I'm preaching about the people that start listening to these lies and they repeat the same garbage. They repeat the same information. A lot of times it's your family, it's your friends, and they come up with these really dumb talking points. Well, Jesus loved everybody. When? Well, he died on the cross. Yeah, sure, he died for everybody's sins. But are you really going to tell me that he was like actively loving the Pharisees when he was like calling them children of the devil? Like, that was a weird love that he had in that particular moment, cursing them. Okay, was he really loving Judas when he was telling him that he was a devil from the beginning? I mean, you know, it just kind of becomes an insane point where people live in an insane world, but it's because they're just simply listening to garbage online and it's affecting their heart and their mind. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And you need to be careful about the people that you hang out with, what they believe. And when you notice them bringing up things that are not really what the Bible's saying, you should ask yourself this question, like, should I really have a really close friendship with this person when they're not someone that cares what the Bible says? You know, sometimes people will be like, oh, these independent fundamental Baptist churches, they're kind of notorious for not having a lot of friends outside of their church or outside of their church circles. And it's like, yeah, but that makes sense, because why would I want to hang out with a bunch of people that don't even think the King James Bible is the Word of God? Right. And a lot of Christians will. A lot of Christians just say like, oh, it's not that big a deal. I'll hang out with people that read the NIV, that read the ESV. But let me explain something to you. Not reading the Bible is the same as reading the NIV. In fact, in some cases, it might be worse. The people that are reading these modern versions, they are not getting better doctrinally, they're getting worse. And they're getting more fallen and more weird. I mean, it's like literally listening to Joe Biden speak and thinking like, this is great. Dude, the modern versions are bad. They don't even make sense. You know, they have creepy things in them. You know, they'll talk about wounds of tailbearing being good, tasty trifles. And what's bizarre to me is I remember pointing that out online. I made like a video just talking about how the modern versions will say in the book of Proverbs, instead of it saying that tailbearing are as wounds, which go down to the innermost part of the belly, they'll be like, they're like tasty trifles. And then this person that I grew up with in high school was arguing with me and saying like, well, that's actually what the Bible teaches.
Wait, what?
And I'm like, what? Why would you want to sit here and justify this? This doesn't even make sense. Tasty trifles, tail bearing is like, what are you trying to explain? And they're like, well, that's what the Hebrew says. I'm thinking like, you speak Hebrew now. That's amazing. When did you go to college and get a Hebrew doctorate? Oh yeah, you didn't, did you? And why would you want to defend such absurdity and such ridiculousness? Well, it's because this person's not reading their Bible. They're not really seeking the Lord. They're not really seeking truth. And when you hang around these people, they will affect you. Be careful hanging out with people that don't like the King James Bible. Right. You say like, oh, well, everybody else I know and hang out with, they don't like the King James Bible. They don't like soul winning. They don't think salvation is by faith. Well, those are dangerous people to be around. Yep. These are bad friends. Well, I can handle it. Well, what does the Bible say? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Now, some people get mad at me for this verse, because what they think that this says is don't explain what Let's Go Brandon means. Not going to explain that. You already know. But that's not what this passage is talking about at all. If you actually understand, what is 1 Corinthians 15 the famous for? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. What does that have to do with four-letter words? Nothing. Okay. What is the whole point of 1 Corinthians chapter 15? There's people in the church that don't believe in the resurrection. There's people that are doctrinally screwed up. They're fallen. Okay. And if you just back up just a few verses, he says, look at verse 30. And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus, our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. What was the evil communications? Let's eat and drink. It wasn't saying naughty words or whatever. It was preaching false doctrine, saying, hey, there's not really a resurrection. That's not really legit. That's not really what's going on. Let us just eat and drink and let's just have fun because we're just going to die anyways. And so they live a meaningless, vain, pointless Christian life because they say it just doesn't matter. And while I doubt you probably are hanging out with people that deny the resurrection, you could still have people that have this attitude of thinking that serving God is meaningless. In what way? Like going soul winning. They could think like, oh, it doesn't matter. How about Calvinism specifically, which just says like, oh, those people that are going to get saved, God will just turn their heart and they'll just get saved if he wants them to get saved. And you're like, no, you know what gets them saved? Me preaching the gospel to them. But they'll just think like, oh, it's not a big deal. Let's just go to our little Calvinist ivory tower, as one of the pastors I grew up with called them, the frozen chosen, where they basically just do nothing. They didn't have a choice, but they just basically do nothing, but that could cause you to be lazy. Because why? Being lazy is easy. The Calvinist doctrine is the easy doctrine. It's the convenient doctrine. Oh, I don't have to do anything because God's just going to take care of all of it. And I don't have to worry about them. And I'm just so special. And God just chose me. And they'll even go so far as to say that when they sin, well, God wanted me to sin that way anyways. And you're just like, what's wrong with your brain? This person is fault. And they could cause you to fall with them by thinking like, well, everything's inevitable. God will just take care of it. Don't worry. You know, we need to go to a church where they're ripping on Calvinism. And they're saying how stupid and wicked Calvinism is. And now it has no legitimacy to Scripture whatsoever. Calvinists are idiots. Calvinists are lazy. Calvinists are jerks. Calvinists are prideful. Calvinists do nothing for God. Okay. And even if they are saved, well, they're just proving the point that you could do nothing and go to heaven. Which is so funny, since they love to talk about the fruit that they have. And you know what their fruit is? Well, I don't explain what Let's Go Brandon means. Evil communications corrupt good manners, Pastor Shelley. And it's like, they don't even understand the irony of that statement. That they do nothing for the kingdom of God, and they're going to basically get zero reward. Hey, if they believed in Christ, they're still saved. But you know what? There's more to life than just being saved. And you don't want to get around people that are just infected with false doctrine, bad beliefs, bad views, because they can drag you down with them. Go over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. You know, like, thinking that the Trinity isn't really three persons. What an idiot. And, you know, Tyler Baker dragged a bunch of people out of this church with him. A bunch of useful idiots with him. Why? Because this guy has fallen from the doctrines of the Bible, fallen from the Trinity, and give lip service only to them, and then draw away disciples with him. And what's so silly is this idiot, he like explained the Trinity in a video after he left our church, and he's saying that Jesus is sitting next to Jesus in heaven. And it's like, how dumb are you? How do you get to the point where you could even say that out loud? It's because you've fallen doctrinally so much. Now, of course, you know, he even put on his like doctrinal statement or his website, like, we deny three persons, one God. But now he gives lip service to that particular wording. He'll say like, oh, now I do believe in three persons, one God. Even though he doesn't, he didn't change what he believes, he just changed his labeling. Because he realized when he said Jesus is sitting next to Jesus, they weren't lining up to sign up to go to his church. They're like, look at this cuckoo bird, okay? And when he was putting on his doctrinal statement like, hey, we deny three persons, one God, no one was coming. And it was just like, oh man, this is bad. So I better change the wording, even though I teach the same doctrine, and I can suck people that come into my church who don't read the Bible. Because a lot of people just don't read the Bible, and they just hear things, and they just think like, yeah, it sounds good. Jesus is sitting next to Jesus, man. It's like, are you on drugs? Like, that's weird. But it happens. And we should be careful. You know, you think like, well, I'm pretty doctrinally sound. You know, no one is doctrinally sound enough to just listen to garbage all day and it not affect them. Be careful listening to trash, bad preaching, bad doctrine. These conservative podcasters, be careful what you listen to and what you're eating. That would be like saying, well, I can eat Twinkies and Ho-Ohs all day. It'll never affect my weight. Who would believe that person? Who would say, like, I can eat unlimited M&Ms, chocolate, candy, whipped cream, just all of it. It will affect me none. And then it's like, but you're supposed to believe that they can sit here and listen to Ben Shapiro and John MacArthur and Joe Biden and NBC and CNN and listen to all this stuff all day. It just doesn't affect them whatsoever. It's lies. It's lies. It affects all of us. We have to be extremely careful. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, look at verse 16. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase into more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Now, kid, you think you're not going to be affected by doctrine. Somehow, some Christians got mixed up on the resurrection. That's crazy. That's crazy to think that somehow people were preaching so much false doctrine that they confused people on the resurrection itself. Such a crucial, vital, core doctrine of the faith. And if they can get screwed up on a doctrine like that, well, I'm telling you, there's a lot of things people can get screwed up on. And so you better be careful the people that you hang out with. You know, you could go to a church like this that preaches hard against all kinds of sin, but then certain people in the congregation are like, well, I just don't think that's really what the Bible says. And they will drag you down with them. Go to Proverbs chapter 13. Go to Proverbs chapter 13. Be careful, even the friends that you make at church. Okay? Not everybody that goes to church is on the same trajectory, the same path, has the same intentions. You need to be careful about who you're listening to, and you need to read the Bible for yourself. The only way to protect yourself is by reading the Bible and knowing yourself. Otherwise, you could get sucked into all kinds of weird junk doctrine. Proverbs 13, verse 20 says this. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Notice it's saying that you should try to hang out with people that are smart. And specifically wise. Well, who's the person that's wise according to Proverbs 11? He that winneth souls. He's wise. You know what's a good friend? Someone that goes soul winning regularly. Well, they don't always want to hang out, or they're trying to drag me out soul winning to walk on the surface of the sun. Yeah, but they're still the nicer friend. Okay? You think Texas is hot. This is hotter. I'm just be honest. I know it's a dry heat or whatever that means, but it's just because all the water left. It ran away. It was scared. It evaporated, you know? There's not a lot of water in hell either. It's a dry heat, okay? The lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, okay? There's no water. Oh, at least there's not humidity in hell, all right? That's for all you Arizona lovers. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, be careful with people that are stupid. You know, there's bad people, there's dumb people, there's foolish people. A lot of young people can be very foolish. Go to Proverbs chapter 22. And, you know, I want to be careful with what I'm saying, but I also want to warn you a little bit. Sometimes when you go to a church There may not be a lot of people that are in your demographic or in your specific area of life. So you just kind of form a lot of friendships with people. Not so much because you just like really like the person, but just because it's like, well, you know, I'm a young single guy. And there's only like four or five of us. So we're just going to be friends because that just happens. And look, you should want to try to have friends at church. Or you say, there's another young couple. We're a young couple. So we're just going to be friends with them kind of naturally. Or we're the few old couples that go to the church, so we're going to all be friends with her. You know, like whatever the demographic is, or hey, I'm from Europe. That's really scarce. So it's like, I'm just going to randomly friends with another person from Europe. But that doesn't make them a good person. And you should be careful that you're choosing even your friends wisely, and you're thinking like, is this person, even though they go to church, are they on the same trajectory that I'm on? Are they going to make similar decisions that I want to make? And what is this relationship going to result in? You know, if your friend is talking to you about how much better of a preacher you is than Pastor Anderson, be like, bye. Like, don't hang out with that person. You know, that's a person that's dangerous to be hanging out with in a particular church. Look at Proverbs 22. Look at verse 24. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. So again, this person is just kind of a foolish person. They blow off their mouth, their temper. They get angry. There's a lot of different warnings, and I'm just kind of trying to focus here on the idea of someone kind of being foolish. What would be some ideas of people being foolish? Well, it's just they're not making good life decisions. They're making bad life decisions. One of these groups specifically is men going their own way. It is a foolish idea. It's a bad idea. And what it seems like that I've kind of noticed is there's all these young single guys that go to a church like ours, and they're not dating and they're not getting married. But they kind of have a desire to get married. And I've been kind of like thinking about it. I'm like, why is it that a lot of times these people aren't getting married? And it's often just because they're hanging out with other guys that are not wanting to really get married. Because it's like, you know, you're not going to get married playing Dungeons and Dragons with all the single guys in the church. You know, it's like, I notice like, hey, this guy, a young pretty lady walks into church, and instead of talking to her and finding out about like what she's interested in and trying to hang out with her, he's so excited to go play board games with all the single guys at the apartment complex that they all live together. And I'm thinking like, well, you know why you're not getting married? You're hanging out with dudes too much. Like maybe it'd be healthy for you to stop hanging out with so many dudes and talk to young ladies. You know, that'll actually help you. And some of them are making bad decisions. You know, there's some guys out there that get poisoned with this doctrine because they're listening to losers like Andrew Tate, who sounds like a faggot. Andrew Tate said that he would rather sleep with a hot tranny than an ugly girl. Which, first of all, that doesn't even exist, okay? The ugliest girl is a million times more attractive than a tranny. I can't even say a hot tranny because it's a self-contradictory statement, okay? Trannies are disgusting, filthy, and abominable. But some people are like, just like, oh, Andrew Tate said it, oh. He's so amazing. He's so great. Everything he says. I mean, he's always just walking around in his underwear smoking stuff. So cool. I want to be like Andrew Tate, who made all of my money on pornography. What a winner. What a cool dude. What a guy to look up to. Made all of his money on smut and filth. Says he wants to sleep with dudes. Why would you care what this guy says about anything? But it's like, oh, but did you see this one video? In this one video, he said, you know, we should, as men, stop giving our power to women. Well, I could have read that in the Bible. I didn't need Andrew Tate. And yet, just because Andrew Tate might accidentally say the right thing, I'm sure if you listened to the whole video, it had the wrong context anyways. It was still stupid, and I don't want to listen to it. But he said to work out. Really? You needed Andrew Tate to recognize that girls like buff dudes? Like, did you not go to high school? Really? It's like, Andrew Tate, he's such a wizard. He understands that women like money and buff guys. Give him all your money now. I've never heard advice like this before. Like, what a genius. What a winner. But you don't want the women that Andrew Tate's hanging out with. They're dudes anyways. What are you trying to find, a hot tranny? Oh, I listened to Andrew Tate's advice. That leads down a dark road, my friend. A weird road where he's even bringing up these concepts. And look, these conservative people, they hang out with trannies. There's this YouTuber, Blair White. Almost every one of these conservative people have pictures with it. They're hanging out with it because it's like a convincing tranny. Until you hear it speak. Until you look at it. It's like, you know, when they can finally, at the drive-thru, convince me, then I'll be convinced. But they can never convince you.
My name's Shelby. What's your order?
It's like, sorry, sir, I'm not, you know, interested. And then you come up and it looks like whatever, a train wreck. They don't ever look good anyways. It's all fake. It's not real. But that's what people are falling for. And you know what? They infect the minds of even young men in our movement where they start thinking like, yeah, women are kind of bad, man. Women, you know, women in America, they just have this bad mindset. And, you know, they're kind of feminist and stuff. And it's like, well, look at you. Right? I mean, are you just such a winner? You little soy boy, you? I mean, I'm sitting here thinking like, what are you stacking cash and getting all these people saved, and you're just such an awesome leader, and the women just are running away from you screaming? Like, that doesn't make a lot of sense. You know, and if you really genuinely want to get married, stop hanging out with dudes. Just stop it. Like, it'll help. It'll fix things quickly. Because then you'll be like, okay, I want to actually hang out with somebody. So then you talk to girls, and you start realizing girls are better than dudes. You know, you don't want to be like Nick Fuentes, which recently said that he hates women. And he said, if you think that your wife is your best friend, then you're a faggot. What? You know what's a faggot? Is a guy like him that says he hates women. Right. Like, what's the definition of a faggot? Hates women. Right. Nick Fuentes, I hate women. And then he's saying that me, someone that I admit to you, I will say, my wife is my best friend. And I'm not gay. Now, I'm happy, all right? But I'm not a sodomite. I'm not a disgusting pervert like these freaks. I love my wife. She's cool. She's smart. And you know what? There's smart and cool women out there. You're like, I don't know. Well, you never talk to them. You talk to this young single guy who literally plays board games and looks on Reddit and listens to Andrew Tate. Doesn't sound that smart either. Okay? It's just like, what kind of world are you living in? And you have these bad friends dragging you down with them. You know, in some cases, when I look at young singles, I feel like they just don't want to be helped. But, you know, I think that there might be, for some of them, this temptation to just hang out with other guys that are making decisions that won't get them married. Like, if all the guys are like, hey, let's leave church and go play board games. But there's a young, pretty girl that showed up. That was a foolish decision. Yep. The right decision was to go to talk to that girl, right? Or, like, invite her on a date or get to know her or do something. Like, if you want to actually genuinely get married, the decisions they're making are not good decisions for that. And they're like, hey, let's live together and let's live as cheap as possible so that we can maximize our video game time. That is a lot of young guys today. They're addicted to video games, and they live with their friends, and they just can't wait to get home to play more video games. This is a foolish way to live your life. You're wasting your life. There's so many young men today that all they care about is playing video games and getting drunk and getting high and just getting to the next just whore that they can sleep with, and they're just destroying their lives, and they're dragging all their other friends with them down. You know, young men, in a lot of cases, you need to separate yourself and get a real job, because guess what? Your future wife doesn't want to live with you and all these other guys. She wants to live with you alone. So start separating yourself now and be like, I'm ready for a cool girl to jump in my cool car and we can hang out and be cool, not jumping in the clown car with all the young guys and go play Dungeons and Dragons. If she's into that, it's weird, okay? They're just not. Let me just be honest. Go to Psalm chapter 1. Well, did you know I have every video game? I'm really good at them. She's going to run away screaming. She's like, hey, tell me, you know, a little about yourself. Well, I hang out with all these other guys. We all sit in our underwear and play Dungeons and Dragons till 4 in the morning. And, you know, right now I'm trying to become manager at Wendy's. I don't have a car. That's expensive. Would you like to go on a date? We can go Dutch. She's just like, no. She wants a man. She wants someone that's going to take care of her and provide for her. Okay? And I'm just telling you, this disease is out there. You got to figure out how to take care of yourself first before a lady wants you to start taking care of her. And honestly, a lot of young men, especially outside of these walls, maybe even sometimes inside, they're just extremely sinful. And this last group I want to warn you about is, and I'm using this term and I want to make it broader, but it's fornicators. Fornicators are bad friends. So we need to avoid fake friends, flatterers, those who are fallen doctrinally, those who are fools and making dumb decisions and living bad lives. And then lastly, fornicators, which in this category are people that are just basically causing you to commit all kinds of sin. There's a lot of bad people in this world that want to drag you down with them and cause you to make a lot of bad decisions. Look at Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So instead of hanging out with the ungodly, this person's reading their Bible. And I'm just telling you, misery loves company. These people that commit fornication and do evil, they want other people to go with them. There's a lot of stories in the Bible, and for sake of time, I'm not really going to them. Go to Proverbs 23 again. Go to Proverbs 23. But, you know, you think about Amnon, who was, you know, wanting his sister Tamar, and he had this friend who was very subtle, Jonadab. And he gave him really bad advice to commit fornication and even an aggravated fornication. It's like that exists in our society today where your, quote, friends will sometimes tell you to do something way worse than they would ever do. They're just trying to get you to do it. This is peer pressure. This exists everywhere where bad guys are just basically saying like, hey, drink this alcohol. Go do this thing with this young lady. Let's go to this bar. Let's go and, you know, they're basically the opposite of these men going their own way in a lot of ways. They're pursuing women, but they're not pursuing the godly women. They're pursuing the ungodly women, and they want to take advantage of them and commit all kinds of sin, and you need to be careful and stay away from those people. If someone's enticing you, if sinners are enticing you, consent thou not, is what the Bible says. And the reality is, especially if you go to public school, you go to university, the vast majority of people in there are going to try and entice you to sin, young men and young women. They're going to want to drag you down into the gutter with them, and they want you to commit adultery, fornication. They want you to drink alcohol. What does it say in Proverbs 23, verse 20? Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. These are bad friends. People that want to drink alcohol are bad people to hang out with. It's one thing for you to believe the Bible on this doctrine that alcohol is a sin, but you know what? You also need to make sure that's your circle of friends too. Yep. So you're like, well, I don't drink, but I'm going to hang out with all my family and friend that drinks. Wrong. Bad decision. Well, I don't drink, but all my coworkers drink. I'm going to go with them to the bar. Bad decision. Well, you know, I have all these great friends. They're such great friends. But they like to drink and party a lot. And they don't really understand that I'm going to church. I'm going to go hang out with them on the weekends. And I'll try to get them saved if an opportunity comes up. Bad decision. You need to get away from those people and be not among winebibbers. If there's someone in this church that says like, well, I know that Pastor Anderson thinks that you should never drink. But I think it's okay to drink a little. Don't hang out with that person. Don't be around that person. Don't think that that's a safe person to be around. Don't do it. You're like, you're trying to get people to stop being my friend. Yes, I am. Because you're a bad friend. If you're enticing other people to drink alcohol, you're a bad friend. You're not helping them. You're causing them to potentially stumble. And you know, some people, if they just even get a little bit of alcohol, they just destroy their lives. It's so destructive. And when someone commits fornication for the first time, sometimes they just end up going down a dark road where they just can't submit so much more fornication. And it destroys them, it destroys their mind, it destroys their heart. It causes them to have regret for the rest of their life. There's so many bastard children in this world because of how much fornication is going on. And a lot of times the fornication was a result of hanging around with wrong people. Being out with your friends and just doing who knows what. Some of the worst people to also hang out with sometimes is someone who's divorced and remarried and doesn't think that that was wrong. Okay? There's probably, you know, of course, in a room this big, there's probably some people in here that have been divorced and remarried. But they at least will admit, like, that wasn't the right decision. Or that was sinful, or I shouldn't have done that. I'm not saying that person's a dangerous person. But someone that's divorced and remarried and going around bragging about it, saying like, oh man, that was the best decision I ever made. Man, my ex, you know, she used to be married to the devil, you know. It's like, that's a bad and a dangerous person to hang out with. And often many divorced people will try to entice you to make the same bad decision with them. They'll try to encourage you, hey, if you're having problems in your marriage, if you're having problems in relationships, they'll say, well, you know what, the best thing that ever happened to me was leaving that loser, leaving that jerk. You don't deserve that, honey. You don't deserve that man or whatever. Well, let me explain something. The men that come after him are worse in many cases. The divorce rate doesn't go down after you get divorced and remarried. It goes up. It's much more likely that you're going to find someone that's worse than your current spouse. And even if you did find someone better, it's only in theory. Because, you know, it's not going to be better. There's so much pain and a lifelong turmoil and sorrow and issues. And if you have children, it just causes so many more problems. And, you know, divorce and remarriage is one of the most worst, like, horrible things that's happening in our society. No-fault divorce. Coming from California. Of course, it's where it's initially kind of being legalized and coming into our society and into our culture. And it's permeated our culture to the point where people just don't even think it's wrong anymore. They're not even like embarrassed anymore. We need to bring back the shame factor of like getting divorced and remarried is bad. I remember thinking like kids, when their parents would get divorced and remarried when I was in school, like there's something wrong with them. There's something bad with those parents. Like these parents are making a colossal mistake and, you know, they have serious issues. Not just like, oh, they must have married the wrong person. How is it that every divorced person, they always married the wrong person? Couldn't they have been the bad person? It takes two to tango, folks. And I'm telling you, if you hang around people that are divorced, you'll find yourself divorced pretty soon. If you hang around people that are drinking, pretty soon you'll start drinking. If you hang around fornicators, you'll start fornicating. If you hang around people that have bad doctrine and are insincere, you'll become someone that's insincere and has bad doctrine too. You cannot just be around people that are causing you to go astray and it not affect you. They will affect you. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And you see people in a church like this going three times a week, going soul winning, loving the Lord, and then in a few months, you're like, who are you? It's because they were hanging out with the wrong people. They had some bad friends. People are whispering in their ear. They're listening to junk. They're not reading their Bible. And you know what? They've allowed someone to change their heart and their mind, and they're turned away from God. You wouldn't be the first or the last. In fact, it's crazy when you come to Faith Word Baptist Church how many new people are here and how many people are not here. And it's not just this church. It's almost any church, and especially IFB churches. There is a constant just revolving door, people coming and going. And you can just tell, well, this person's getting sucked into a bunch of bad influences, a bunch of bad friends. Even young single guys, I've seen young single guys, they're coming to church and they're zealous and they love the Lord and they're showing up to everything. And then all of a sudden, they're just not, they're just a completely different person. Be careful who you're around, what influences, you know, being around covetous people. That's another big one. And I've seen this, unfortunately, too. I've seen people that were really zealous, love church, but then they started making a lot of money. And now they're gone. Why? Because they care more about making a lot of money, having a lot of nice things. And, you know, you got to be careful about the influences that you're letting get into your heart and into your mind. Because every single one of us is constantly a product of what you eat. You are what you eat. And think about it this way. You could be the skinniest person in this room, but if you just start eating Twinkies and Ho-Hos all day, you'll get big fast. You could look at someone and say like, oh, wow, you were so fit and so healthy, and now you're not at all. What happened? Well, they just stopped doing the right thing, right? They stopped eating the right food. They stopped exercising. They stopped doing the right thing. Spiritually, this happens where people are skinny and healthy and spiritually, but then they stop reading their Bible, so they're eating junk food, and then they stop exercising themselves by going to church and being around the right people and going soul winning, and they just become spiritually obese. And as a result, you look at them, they're a completely different person. Who are you? Be careful of the friends that you have in your life. Be careful why they're even your friend in the first place. And don't think like this person won't affect me. They very much will. Now, again, I'm not against you having friends. You know, be friendly to people, but also think very seriously. You know, is this person affecting my life for the positive? Is this people I should be hanging out with? And generally speaking, most of your close friends should probably be from church. Not these family and friends that don't like the Bible. Not your coworkers. Not your high school buddies. Not your college buddies. But the people that actually love what this book says, those are the people that should be your friends. And you should hang out with wise men because they'll also make you wise. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, so much for giving us some warnings and giving us some instruction. Of course, Jesus, you're the friend that sticketh closer than a brother anyways. You should be our closest friend. And I pray that you would help us understand that none of us is immune to sin, to false doctrine, to flattery, and all these different temptations that are out there. But I pray you would help us to recognize and identify people that are just not good friends so that we could avoid them and we can make sure that we stay on the right path. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Take your psalm books, please. Go to hymn number 149. Hymn 149. Trusting Jesus. Hymn number 149. We'll sing this and be dismissed. 149. Simply trusting every day. Number 149. Sing.